Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Good morning, Hope Elim. How are we doing today? Amen, amen. Now, before we get into all of that, I just wanted to set the stage to say, God has something for you today. You're sitting where you're sitting because he already knew you'd be right here, right now. So whatever you're coming with, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're carrying, whatever preconceived notions you have, whatever assumptions you might have, I just want to welcome you into the space to say that you are safe, you are loved, you are seen, and you're welcomed home. And so today we are starting a new series. My name's Ryan, I'm sorry. I do that all the time. I like get into it and then they're like, who are you? And I'm like, my name's Ryan. I'm so grateful to be here with you this morning. We are starting a new series today called 7 Habits of Highly Effective Christians. You might get caught up on that title. Sometimes I do too. I want you to reframe your thinking around something that you hear like that and just think of it this way. How about 7 ways that we can till the ground of our hearts, plant seeds in the soil of our soul that help us produce fruit that's going to help us and help others live life to the fullest in the way that God has intended. This is not 7 habits to make you feel like you have to reach a certain bar or standard to be a Christian. This is not some sort of perfectionist religiosity that tells you that you have to live a certain way to be accepted by God. You are already accepted. You are already welcomed into his kingdom, into his family. You don't need a certain habit to be welcomed into God's house. This is just an opportunity for us all to say, and yet I still strive towards the goal. I still press towards the high calling. I still reach for the goal, and I still race ahead towards what Jesus has given me. So with that being said, you're like, what in the world is this balloon stuff? Why does this man have so many balloons? What was on the screen? Today we're talking about follow Jesus, not the crowd. And I think I'm going to probably need a little bit of help from the back because right now this isn't working, but that's okay. We don't need a clicker to work to get into what God has for us today. So follow Jesus, not the crowd. And you're like, okay, he's got these red balloons and it's the red balloon effect. Now you're like, if you've seen movies, you're like, is this man about to go into like it? Like, do I need to brace myself to have a clown like running from the back that's gonna come up and scare me? No, this is not it. We're not going into that kind of red balloon effect. We are going to make sure today that there are no clowns, because if there was a clown, you would see a live action WWE on this stage, because I do not mess with that at all. What I'm talking about today is something that has been going around our culture and society. It's always been there, but it seems to have a more prevalent place right now. There's a lot of different dating shows that are going on, and some of you watched Love is Blind last night, UK version. Some of you watched, what's the other ones? Love Island. There's so many different ones, and then there's this one that's also on YouTube that is basically choosing off the first appearance in the first moment whether you feel like this person is worth talking to or not. There's a line of people with red balloons. Someone comes around the corner, and instantly you start hearing pops. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. I was about to go into the songs. I like respond to stuff 80% of the time with songs, but I'm not going to do that today. And off face value, these people are determined if they're worth it or not. How many of us in here today have an anxiety deep within us because there is someone holding a red balloon in our lives, and we are terrified that if they pop it, we finally won't have any more value? Who holds the balloon in your life? Is it your boyfriend, your girlfriend, the person that you want to be your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Is it the job? Is it the lack of job? Is it your family? Is it the dad that never showed up? You've never met him. And he still holds this balloon in your life, and that's why you're a perfectionist, because you feel like you can't fail. Because if you do, well, that's the reason why he never was around. Is it the people in your life that talk behind your back and you know it? And they hold a red balloon in your life and you just wish that for once you didn't feel the pressure that you always had to be more than enough? We're going to get into it today. We're going to talk about it. And I know it already is hitting heavy, and it's like we ain't even gotten into the word yet. But I just wanted to prepare you. Also, I just wanted to prepare, some of you already had it before service, just a brief trigger warning. I am going to pop some of these balloons at some point. So not to escalate your anxiety. It's going to be okay. But I just wanted to make you aware so then it didn't just pop and you're like, okay, what just happened? All right, so let's get into it as we proceed. Therefore, the passage we're talking about today is Romans 12, 1 through 2. And in the CSB, which is a spot that I like to read a lot, the first word is therefore. So what is therefore? We have to go back. We have to dig into Romans 11. And so if you have your Bibles today, we are a church that loves reading out of the Word of God. And if you've got your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to the end of Romans 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. If you have your phone, go ahead and pull out the Bible app. We would love to read this with you, because if we hear therefore, we need to go back and figure out the context of what's really going on. So, and I was about to fall off the stage. So, therefore, I'm just going to read 33 to 36, all right? Read it there with me if you're there. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, since we have read that, now we proceed. So what we're saying here with this therefore, and what God's got in store for us today, is that everything that's going on in your life, everything that is happening, everything good and pleasing and perfect, is to him, through him, and by him. The breath in your lungs. You getting up this morning. All glory to him. We did not get to this spot on our own. I did not get to this spot on my own. Therefore, it's not about what I have to say. It is not about what I do. It is not about me being on this stage, because let me keep it real with you, like I always want to. I am a sinner just like you, coming before the Father saying, you know what, God, I need this just as much as anybody else. Anybody else. I am just another sinner saying, you know what, God, I need you more and more each day, and I'm just trying to live more and more like you. So, therefore, with that being said, now we are in Romans 1, 12, 1, excuse me. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. There is so much in this verse, we could spend the entire day on one verse. We're going to try and do it in about 20, 25 minutes. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies, have you ever been in a spot in your life where, and maybe this is you right now because this is me, when you view your life and you recognize all that God got you through in view of the mercies of God, that my heart turns from obligation into opportunity, that my heart turns from obligation into overflow because God has done so much for me. God, let me do whatever I can for you. There is nothing that he is calling us to that he hasn't already done first. That's the kind of love we're dealing with today. So I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Hold up. How is it possible for a sacrifice to be living? Think about it. When they presented sacrifices before the Lord back in the day, they had to kill the sacrifice. They had to slaughter the sacrifice. How can it be living and still sacrificial? Because for something to live, something must die. So when he's saying, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, he's saying, I know there are things in your life and in my life that we want to hold on to, that we want to live in. But if we are going to call ourselves up to what God has asked of us and live in the ways in which he wants us to, something has to die. It cannot be fully me and then ask God to be fully him through me. There's no room. How can I make room for God if I wholly, in my heart and soul, have everything that I want? Well, God, you know, it's like going into a room. You know those family functions where you go in and there's 20 people in the living room and they're like, oh man, find a spot. You're like, I'm looking. There ain't no room. You're like hanging out in the kitchen because there's like 20 people in the living room trying to watch the game and you like got nowhere to go. So you're just sitting in the kitchen with your plate like, well, here I am. It's also smart because you're close to the food. So I see you. You've got a strategy. So don't hear me wrong. I see you and I'm the same way. You know, you got to make sure that someone isn't getting their third plate to go before you get your second plate, right? You got to keep it. Anyways, we'll get into food too much if I keep going. For something to live, something must die. And here's the lie that a lot of us believe in our lives. Well, it'll get comfortable in a coffin. We would rather be buried 6 feet under with the things that we know are not good for our lives and be suffocating ourselves in our death than to leave it in that coffin and rise up out of the ground and live. Well, you know what? This coffin's kind of cozy now. You know, it's a little tight. I have a little bit of claustrophobia. Things are kind of pressing in, but after a while, after I'm continually in it, after I'm continuing to go back to that website, after I'm continuing to have conversations with 5 different people in my DMs, after continuing to let my family dictate the ways in which I live my life and telling me that I won't amount to anything and continuing to live in that endless generational curse cycle of saying you've got to do this, 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 and this to be approved. It's been 30 years and you still sit in that coffin because you're used to the pain. And I'd rather live and sit and lie in a coffin where I'm slowly killing myself than to breathe fresh air because I never have. It'll get comfortable in a coffin. You know what else is in a coffin? No one else. It's a lot easier to hold everything that's killing you. The addiction, the lies, everything, than to bury it in that coffin and rise out. It's much easier to do that alone. than for people to really see what's going on. With a coffin, it's closed. With a coffin, you can't see it. With a coffin, it's 6 feet under. People are living their lives, and you are buried alive. And you can still scream, and no one will hear you. That's how much you have removed yourself from community. That's how much you've removed yourself from anybody really seeing you for who you are. Because if I'm buried that deep, no one has to see what I'm really going through. No one has to hear the screams I have every single night and the crying out every single night, just wishing for something to change, but I just can't seem to find the strength to get up out of that grave. So you keep living in that lie. But I stopped by to tell somebody today, we not living to die, we dying to live. It's time to flip it. It is time to flip it. What does it mean to not live to die, but die to live? That means I am going to take off the old self. That means I'm going to say with everything in me that, you know what? I know that whatever that is in my life that is slowly killing me and poisoning me is not worth living for anymore. I'm going to die to live. That means I gotta put myself in the grave. I have to put everything that I've known in the grave. Everything that I'm used to, everything that I'm comfortable with, every single lie that I believed since I was a child, I have to die to that so I can live. That's what it means. Did you know that dying to live also means that you have to give up the lies that you believed in your childhood trauma? You have to give that up. That means when your dad said, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, let me just do it. And you carried that trauma because you've always felt like you never were equipped to do anything successfully, so you never step into anything because you always will feel like someone's going to be right there telling you, not good enough. And so you keep slowly dying because you know that God has invested so many great things in you that you won't step into your purpose. You will stay imprisoned in your coffin because that one person told you you weren't good enough. You need to bury that thing in the grave and live to hear that God says, already good enough. I put it within you. It was there before you were born. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you've been told, listen to a consistent voice, not a conditional voice. Let me say that again. You need to listen to a Jesus, okay? You need to listen to a consistent voice, not a conditional voice. Let's go back to the red balloon really quick. We'll go there. But what I mean by that, you conditionally have people in your life ready with a balloon, ready to pop it, and it's right here. And that's why you have so much anxiety. That's why you can't be fully connected to your spouse. Because everything in society has constantly been right here, and if you slip up, if you fail, if you're not good enough, then maybe they'll finally pop it and you'll be abandoned again. So you keep everything inside you and you're living to die instead of dying to live. Like I said, we could stay here all day, but I gotta keep it moving. So, Romans 12:1. The other part I wanted to touch on as we're talking about a living sacrifice says, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true worship. Church, I need you to hear today. True worship is my daily heart posture, not my Sunday morning posture. I am not dismissing what God does in a heart when you are in this room, because I have been on the floor weeping because God struck me, but that's because of the daily heart posture that led me to that moment of breaking through. It is not because I just instantaneously had one moment, and sometimes it does happen that way. But true worship is my daily heart posture, not my Sunday morning posture. God wants to see you every day, not just right here, right now. He wants to know that you want an actual relationship with him. That's true worship. What do you mean by that, Ryan? It means that, you know what, God, you know what true worship is? God help. God, I need you. God, I can't do this. That's worship because you're not placing yourself on the throne. You're saying, I need somebody on my throne. This is not about our Sunday morning posture. True worship is about our daily heart posture. So we go on to Romans 12:2. And again, another verse we could spend all day on. And I really want to. But I want you to hear my heart in this. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. I love how the NLT puts it. But let God transform you into a new person by changing how you live, like by making you perfect, by not making any mistakes, by not having moments where you recognize that you're trying to follow the customs and patterns of this world instead of Jesus. Is that what it says? No. By changing the way you think. Why is it so important that God needs to change the way we think? Because you know right now, the way you think has led you to being absolutely paralyzed into following any purpose in your life, because the way you think, you look at yourself and you say, no one has left their balloon unpopped. Everybody does not see the value in me. No one could ever find value in who I am. God certainly couldn't. If he knew everything that I've done, he does. Then he would pop it. I was reflecting with a mentor this week on this passage, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Like, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. And he posed the question that is so good. How do I think in a different way if all I've ever known is the behaviors and customs of this world? How do I do that? How do I change the way I think? How do I change the way I live if everything I've ever known is everything I've ever seen? It's by walking by faith and not by sight, and recognizing that we aren't the ones who can change us. It's only God. It's why you keep running in place saying, God, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. Slip up, dang it, dang it, dang it. For those who watch TikTok, you know in the room, you know what that trend is. That's how you feel. You're just like, dang it, dang it. And you're just stuck in this glitch. And you get klutzy like me. And you don't watch for your water. But God's not telling you, hey, get it together. God's saying, hey, let me take your mind and show you what you should really be thinking about. The fact that I have a purpose for you. The fact that I have a calling for your life. The fact that I have for... God's forgiven you. I need you to hear it. God has forgiven you even though you haven't forgiven yourself. Changing the way you think. You are not a prisoner anymore. You're set free by him. I love this word transform in the NLT because as I was talking with my mentor, he was like, you know that the Greek version of that word transform is metamorpho. Sorry, I was listening and making sure that I got the Greek right on this. But it's to change form, and we get the word metamorphosis from this Greek word. Let that marinate for a second. What did we just talk about? For something to live, something must die. In a metamorphosis stage, you've heard it before, a caterpillar has to go into the cocoon. He has to shed the old self And what comes out is a whole new creation. Someone in this room needs to hear, you can't take with you what God has for you by keeping the dead things still on you. You can't take with you in this new season the same people. You can't take with you the same environments if you want to really live into what God wants to transform in you. You can't take the same mindset into this new season that God has for you. You have to have a metamorphosis, and that means you have to accept that who you were is not who you are and who you will be. You have to accept that what you were is not your best self. And I need someone in this room to hear, it's not too late. You're 60, 70 years old. It's not too late. You're a teenager. You're going back to school. You had your first day, or you're about to. And you feel like you just, your first day was not your highest note. It's not too late. You feel like your whole entire summer was wasted because you chose choice after choice after choice that led you with a broken heart, and now you're starting the school season looking at people and recognizing they're never gonna see me the same. It's not too late. Take off the old things. Go into the new, the metamorphosis that God has for you. Because here's the thing, transformation is not on the other side of trying. Transformation is on the other side of surrender. And I need you to hear all these things. You hear these statements. I've been attaching scriptures onto it because I don't want you to think that this is some sort of like self-help, like motivational talk. We steep what we believe into the Word of God. We let the Word of God dictate how we view things in this church family, not us trying to change the Word of God to view it the way we want to. Transformation is not on the other side of trying. Transformation is on the other side of surrendering. And I need you to hear this when we're talking about that verse, Romans 12:2, God's will for you. I think a lot of times with our life and how it's gone, we look at God and we say, you know what? God's will for my life must just be suffering, pain, scars. What does the Bible promise? God's will for you is good. It's pleasing and it's perfect. God's intentions for your life, I need you to hear me, and I know it's hard to believe right now, right here. His will for you is good. He actually wants good things for you. He actually desires for you to live a good life. This is not some prosperity gospel good. I'm saying that he actually wants the relationships in your life to be healed. He actually wants you to go to bed and have peace in your mind for once. He actually wants to see those nightmares no longer happen. He wants to see you get through and break through that addiction. He believes that for you. He wants that for you. That's the God that we serve. He wants to see you so on fire and so confident in who he's created you to be that you're actually waking up in the morning confident in who he's created you to be, and you're not looking for someone else's validation. God is pleased with you. Do you know that? Have you heard that? Jesus. Sometimes I just have to let the heaviness marinate. I'm an empath and a sponge. So I just want to get you right to that spot of care, but sometimes I have to hold myself back because I know he's working on you, just like he's working on me. And so now I have an anthem for you and a declarative statement for you that you need to hear. Someone or something in your life has constantly been holding this out in front of you, telling you you're not good enough, that you'll never amount to anything. They're the one that's constantly going like this and saying, you know what, if you don't do this for me, then I'm gonna pop it. I know that you're compromising and you need to continue to keep compromising, or I'm gonna pop it and you're gonna be abandoned and alone again. I need you to raise your kids the way that I did, or I'm going to pop it and I'm going to abandon you. I am going to keep bruising you and tearing you down. And if you say anything, I'm going to pop it. Mom, Dad, if you don't let me do the 5 million activities I want to, if you don't get me everything that all the other kids have, I'm going to show you how disappointed I am in you, and I'm going to pop it. And what I have for you today, Hope Elam, when the world tells you you're not good enough, when the world tells you you have to live this way and do this thing and fit in this crowd, and you have to keep turning to alcohol because you know what? It's better to numb than to get through. Everything you learned in college was to continue to just consume, consume, consume to get your mind to a place where you're not actually focused on the traumas that you're still dealing with. So I'm just gonna get drunk, and that's the only way I know how to have fun. I'm gonna hit it up. I'm gonna take a blunt after a blunt after a blunt after a blunt because I have to keep numbing the fact that I feel like I'm just not surmounting to anything. And that's the only way that I know how to be free. And all the people and all the crowds telling you, oh, do this, do that. Oh, this is fun. This is that. When in all actuality, you've known from the moment you were born, you had a natural joy in you. And everybody just kept taking it and smushing it and snuffing it out because they couldn't handle that you had joy and they didn't. So take this drink because I need you numbed so I feel better about myself. And what I'm telling you right now, I need you to look the world in the face and I need you to take that balloon back. Instead of someone else being able to stand over you and say this and say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, and I'm just letting you know what's about to happen. I need you to stare the world in the face and say, you know what? I don't want what you have to offer. I don't need what you have to offer. I don't have to live the way you want me to live anymore. Because guess what? I've got Jesus, so take the world back. Take the balloon back. Take it back. Oh, you want me to have sex with you and that's the reason why you gonna stay with me? I don't need you no more. You want to continue to abuse me and you want to tell me that if I continue to stay in this space, okay, I'm gonna live this way. Guess what? I don't need it. Take the balloon back. I don't need you no more. You want to continue to tell those people in the parenting circles that look down on you because they're like, well, she's not raising her kids the way that she ought to, and they crazy. Guess what? Take the balloon back. You haven't talked to your parents in 5 years because you feel like you're a disappointment, and they look down on you because of the mistakes you made, because you had to live the life you had to live. And yes, you made mistakes, but guess what? No one in this world holds you but God. No one. Let's flip it. Let's flip it. You walk in this church and you've made mistakes and you feel like the church looks at you and says, praying for you. Come on over here. Come on over here. Come on, come on. How you doing? Praying for you. Praying for you, you know. God's got something good for you. You just... You seen they coming to church? You seen they here? Oh, thank God, because... I'm here every Sunday, but... Praise God, they hear. God bless you. God keep you. May his face shine upon you, amen. And then they go into the corner and they gossip about you. Whatever it might be, addiction, mistake, divorce, whatever it is, the church doesn't hold a balloon to you either. The church is not looking at you with a balloon and saying, well, you got to get it a little bit back together. Otherwise, we're not going to welcome you. Here's the truth about it. The church has to be different because the world holds a red balloon and Jesus holds open hands. When's the last time you felt someone reach out to pick you up instead of kick you down? When's the last time you felt someone hold you and hug you and love you instead of standing at a distance just judging you, being like, you'll have access once you get it together? That's not Jesus' way. Jesus held his hand out to the crippled man. Jesus held his hand out to the woman at the well. Jesus held his hand out on the cross to the thief. Jesus holds his hand out to you and says, I've never carried a balloon in my life. I've never had a balloon in my life because you know what? This is so instantaneous and empty. This doesn't last. Have you thought about that? The person that you continue to let hold this in your life for 10 years, this balloon is gonna shrink because it can't hold anything because it's just air. Jesus has something for you so much more consistent. God is never holding a balloon in its hands, he's holding you. Men in the room, this is not to disregard females. Ladies, I'm coming to you in a second. But I need some men in this room to hear it. Men in the room, when was the last time you actually let someone hug you and hold you? You're like, hold up, bro. Praying for you. You know why you've built such a wall? It's because your dad never hugged you. You never felt the embrace of a man. And y'all, when you hear that, I know some of y'all feel so awkward because you've never seen what it's like for a man to have a genuine, authentic love towards another man, a brotherhood, a fatherhood. Some of y'all in this room need to walk up to an older man in this room, and I'm not trying to be ageist, I'm just saying, you've had experience. And you need to just let that man hug you. You need to actually let a man in your life hug you and let you know that he's proud of you. I saw that yesterday morning. The greatest moment yesterday morning was to see a man hold this younger teen and look him in the eyes and say, I'm proud of you. And for that teen to crumble because he's never heard that in his life. He has never seen that from a man. And for a man in his life to say, I see you, I'm proud of you, I'm excited for the man that God's shaping you into in his life. That man no longer felt a balloon, he felt an embrace. That's what he felt. And for some of you men, you might be 70, you still need that. Come on up and get a hug. Women in life too. I need you to hear, the same is for you. But I think as men, we struggle with intimacy. It's why we always turn to sex and we never know how to actually have an emotional, psychological, spiritual, and intellectual intimacy with people. Because we were never shown that. So how do we know what we don't know? Get hugged. That might be the thing for you today. Put the balloon aside and be held because he's holding you. The last thing I want to say, when a balloon no longer exists, fear is not our future. Living is. You're so afraid of what it would look like to get into a healthy relationship. So you keep turning to drinking, and you keep turning to those toxic men or women because it's all you've ever known. And you keep going back to the places you know and the spaces you understand and the places you feel like you are best known for because you've never seen a new way. But when you put the balloon aside and you say, you know what, God, I actually just want you to hold me instead. You recognize that fear is not your future because now you're no longer holding it and you're not letting anybody else hold it. You're letting God hold it. And that's what living is. To be free of having to control everything. To be free from feeling like someone else is in control. To be free from everybody else's opinion and mark and bar for you. To be free from all the fear that if I mess up, what will happen? To be free, because I wish you would write that book. You've been sitting on a story your whole entire life, and you're scared that if you actually put out a book, everybody would be like, oh, that's dumb. Nobody's gonna read it. I wish you would follow that career path that you know that you've been called to, but you keep sitting back in a place that's comfortable because fear is that if you actually like leapt out and did that thing that God's called you to, everybody in your life would be like, praying for you. Praying for you. I wish you would leave that toxic environment and finally show that you're worth more than what they say. That you actually believe that you're worth it. And with that decision and that action and that step, you tell them, you no longer define me. I wish you would stop sitting back in the pews and consuming and taking in church. You'd actually let someone get to know you. Because you're scared that if someone actually knew you, you'd be judged. And the opposite is true. This church is full of people that do not have a balloon in their hand. They've got an open hand. Because guess what? It's full of scars. And they're just like yours. We do not sit back wanting to pop a balloon, looking at you, watching you, eyeing you. We are here with open arms to say, welcome home. So I wish you would. I wish you would choose living. So that's what we're going to do right now. What I want you to do, Jesus, I need you to hear me. Because every single week, I want you to come to this place with expectation that I'm going to leave this place different than when I came. That this metamorphosis in the translation of transform is actually taking root and taking place. So when we sing this song, fear is not my future, I need you to declare that over your life. I need you to declare that over your soul. That fear is no longer the thing that I'm bound to, but Jesus, you are. So when we sing this song, I do not want you to look at lyrics on a screen. I do not want you to sing this song and think that it's not for you. Fear is not your future. So when you belt it out, I want you to declare that over every single person that told you you had no future. I want you to declare that over yourself, over every single lie of the enemy that told you that you can never get past that addiction, that burden, that boundary, that thing that might feel like you're so chained and set back. I need you to roar. I need you to yell. I need you to stand up right now, if you're able, and get ready to declare anthemically over your life that fear is not our future, living is. Amen. Let's go.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.